righteousness, undiscerning stand, and those who believe in children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law." Clearly, no one is justified before God and law because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. It is contrary. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse with us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hung on a tree." He has redeemed us on order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, and the kids are invited to Children's Church, which is, you're going to have to meet Miss Marcy in the nursery today. Unfortunately, our friend Cheyenne is not feeling well today, so we'll give her a pass since she's teaching all summer. Well, let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the words of Scripture that you give to us, that faithful saints have wrestled with throughout the centuries. We thank you for the life that they breathe into us. And we thank you that we encounter Christ, the living Word, in these words. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You got to love any passage of Scripture that begins with, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" I don't know if you have to love it, but I do. Mostly because I'm not a Galatian, at least not technically, though I may have some of the attributes and traits of a Galatian. I'm not feeling the wrath of Paul in this exact moment, but maybe I should be. So obviously we know that these letters of Paul, and Galatians is one of them, this is the one that we're working through all summer, so we're reading the letter to the church in Galatia. So Paul wrote this letter to the church in order to be read to the church so that they could wrestle through the issues and hear his advice and hear what's going on from his perspective, so that it could also be shared with other churches all around at that time. And of course, it's been passed from church to church to church to church to church all the way till now for the last 2,000 years. It's a pretty amazing phenomenon that this letter written to in a very specific situation to a very specific church is still so unbelievably relevant to us here and now. And you find that all over Scripture. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Now it's interesting that he begins this way because people aren't necessarily arguing that Jesus wasn't crucified. That's not the issue. They're not saying Jesus wasn't crucified. But Paul is saying, if you really believed, if you really understood all the implications of what it means that Jesus was crucified, then you wouldn't be having all the issues and foolish problems that you're having right now. And the core question in this first section is, how does the Spirit come to you? Verse 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? So these are the two options. Did you receive the Spirit through observance of the law or by believing what you heard? Now, it's a rhetorical question, and the implied answer is one or two. Anybody? We have a consensus? One or two? Two. Okay, the implied answer is two. Are we in agreement there? All right, we can be. If somebody wants to argue, that's fine, but maybe we'll do that later. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? You believed what you heard, and you received the Spirit. Think about the episode of Pentecost, right? These people, they came together not in, well, they did come in observance of the law. They came to celebrate Pentecost, which is this festival. But it wasn't because they had all observed the law perfectly and carefully that they received the Spirit that day. It was because of the grace of God, right? It was a free gift. And those who believed experienced this mighty, mighty power. And to this day, those who believe experience the mighty power of the Spirit. The Spirit does not come through observance of the law. That doesn't mean observance of the law is unimportant or irrelevant, but that's not how the Spirit comes. That's not how the Spirit comes. So believing what you have heard, what have they heard? Right? Because I can believe what I've heard on the news this morning, and that can do me not necessarily a whole lot of good. In fact, it might do me a lot of bad, because they may be lying to me. Who knows, right? If I believe everything I've heard, I'm certainly believing a lot of lies, right? So it's not about believing everything that we hear. There's something specific about what they've heard that they've believed here, right? And the content of it is what we just talked about. What they heard is Christ crucified. What they saw was Christ crucified. This was the main event that they heard, they believed, and now they have faith in. Jesus Christ was crucified. But, again, in those days, a lot of people were crucified. Just because you believed somebody was crucified, that doesn't necessarily mean that anything, I don't know. I mean, the two thieves were crucified next to him. I believe that they died too. Does that make a difference in my life? Not necessarily. So believing in Christ crucified means something very specific. It's not just, oh, that guy was hung on the cross. Even if we believe it was unjust, that's not the only important thing, but it is where it all starts. And this is all going to come back to faith and believing. Verse 5, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by your observing the law or by believing what you heard? Same thing he said in verse 2. Full repetition. In verse 6, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He goes all the way back to Abraham, who is introduced to us way back in Genesis. Like the first few chapters of Genesis, like Genesis 12 is where we get like Abraham becomes the main character of the Bible. And you know what didn't exist yet when Abraham walked the earth? The law. Right? Abraham had no law. Moses came many, 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 many years after Abraham. And Moses is the one who gives us the law, right? So Paul says, okay, let's go all the way back to Abraham. Before the law even existed, how was he judged? He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So before there was ever any law, how was Abraham judged? According to his, starts with an F? Faith. Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad you got that right. According to his faith, that's how he received his blessing, before the law even existed. And Abraham is absolutely looked at as the father of Israel, right? I mean, he is where it all starts. I mean, they consider themselves children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where it all begins, is with Abraham. And he received his blessing by faith. All right. While we're on the topic of Abraham, verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. So those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. I love this. God announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. And what is the gospel? All nations will be blessed through you. The gospel is defined in a lot of ways throughout the New Testament. There's no like one definitive, this is the gospel. I mean, our most common one is John 3:16, absolutely central. But the gospel is defined, good news is defined in a lot of different ways in the New Testament. There are a lot of aspects to what the good news is. And according to Galatians, one central aspect of the gospel is that all nations will be blessed through Israel, through Abraham. All nations will be blessed through him. And that he received this advance of the gospel. And that this gospel comes not through the law, but through faith. Abraham received it by faith, and we receive it by faith. Now, you could stop there, and you could say, well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for, like, erasing several thousand years of history. Like, we can just skip from Abraham to Jesus and, like, just miss all of our whole history as a people. This is a Jewish faithful believer talking at this point, right? Well, no, it's not that simple. It's not that simple you can just erase everything that happened in between, right? The journey is absolutely part of the story. And the law is not completely irrelevant, but it is irrelevant for this purpose. It is irrelevant for the purpose of bringing blessing and the purpose of bringing salvation and faith. So let's keep going. We'll land, I hope. We'll try to anyway. We're up in the air 30,000 feet, but we'll land this in something relevant to our lives here. So starting in verse 10, he turns to what the law really is about. He turns to what has happened to the law throughout history. All who rely, verse 10, on observing the law are under a curse. So if you rely on, it's not all who observe the law, right? It's not saying it's bad to observe the law. There's certainly a lot of benefits to observing the law, right? Living on a kosher diet actually could be really good for you. Not eating all that stuff that they tell you not to eat in the Old Testament would actually be quite a good diet for you, right? There's a whole lot of practical wisdom there, and a whole lot of theological wisdom there, right? The Ten Commandments, right? We don't think that they're like, oh yeah, murder. I mean, I know back in those days it was bad, but now it's not that big of a deal, you know? I mean, you can kill people. I mean, it's not that, right? I mean, maybe some people actually believe that way, but people of faith, I think, still cling to those realities as important. But keeping those commandments, simply not murdering somebody, is not enough to bring us to faith and salvation, right? It's not going to justify us. If we rely on observing the law, we are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So written into the law is, if you don't do everything in the law, you're cursed. So basically, by giving the law, God has said the people, in some real way, are cursed. That doesn't seem like a very good idea. That seems very sad. Here's what the law does for us. It's good life guidelines, but it's terrible at justifying us before God. Now I'm going to borrow a metaphor from a New Testament scholar, N.T. Wright. He talks about what he thinks that Paul is saying about the law here is kind of like the law has become an overturned semi. So let's say that the law was this thing that was kind of out in front of God's people. It's out in front of God's people showing them the way to go, right? So you ever tried to follow somebody in the car? Some people are good at following. Some people aren't very good at following. My dad always follows like a quarter mile behind me, and it drives me nuts. Like, you're going to get caught at that red light. You're going to get caught at that red light. Yep. And we're separate, and we're gone. And hopefully you can figure it out. Turn on your cell phone. Okay, sorry. My dad will listen to this later and be laughing, hopefully, at that reference. So the law was this thing that you follow after, right? And it showed people what's good and what's bad for behavior, right? Because you think about cultures and civilizations before the law, they're trying to figure out how to please the gods, right? Whatever culture it is and whatever gods they're trying to follow, they're like scrambling. It's like, okay, well, if I offer my first fruits of all my crops, then maybe the gods will be happy. And then you offer the first fruits, and then the next year you have a great crop, and you're like, great, that worked. And then the next year you do the exact same thing, and nothing grows. It's a famine. It's a drought. Nothing happens. And you're like, oh, I thought that was the thing that worked. I thought that pleased the gods, but now, well, that didn't work at all. So this people that follow Yahweh, the God of Israel, eventually God gives them a break and says, here, this is what you need to do to please me. And it's very extensive, and there's a lot of detail to it. But at least they know what's right and what's wrong. They know what's going to please God and what's not going to please God. They know that they're not going to get it all perfect and right, but they know what the standard is, right? That's a helpful thing for the people of Israel. It's a great life guideline. But according to N.T. Wright, this is what he says has happened. And at this point in history, what has happened is that the semi that you were following, this thing that was showing you the way, showing you what's right and what's wrong, has overturned across both lanes of traffic and become a roadblock. A curse. I don't know if you've ever been caught behind one of those pileups, but if you could count all the curses being uttered from all the cars that are having to wait, right? That is the curse that we're talking about here, right? Jesus becomes the curse, right? That's what Paul is saying. Jesus becomes that curse. Let's go back to the text. I'm getting some quizzical looks at that statement, so let's just... Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed according to the law. And how does Jesus die? Hung on a tree, cursed according to the very law that he lived out actually quite well, smashingly, perfectly. He actually was not the offender of the law that all of us are. And yet he dies cursed according to that very law. He becomes that curse for us. And so the crucifixion is like laying that curse before us. And then we know what happens 3 days after that crucifixion, right? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, right? Jesus rises from the dead. Jesus removes the stumbling block, the overturned semi from our path. And now, well, now we're cooking. Now, when we receive the Spirit through faith, everybody has our own guidance and guidelines for how to live moving forward. We still have that law, right? It hasn't disappeared. Thankfully, we still have those guidelines. They're great. They're important. They're wonderful. They're not going to save us, but they're going to help us live a better life. But through faith, well, we can come to God and we can have access to the Spirit, which shows us the next step of our lives. Christ becomes the curse, is crucified with the curse, and in resurrection offers salvation and the Spirit to all through faith. Now remember, the guide for salvation for so many years had been the people of Israel. And there's still a guide for salvation, the people of Israel, right? Jesus comes out of the people of Israel That's an important piece of the story. That's a huge, essential piece of the story. But in Christ, Abraham's promise is fulfilled. What was Abraham's promise? We just read it a few seconds ago. All nations will be blessed through you. All nations. So even when Israel was sort of exclusively God's chosen people in history, the intent was never that they would be the only ones who would be saved. They may be God's chosen people and God's special, unique, elect people, but not the only ones to be saved. All nations are to be blessed through them. I'm usually not much for acronyms. I feel like they're a little cheesy often. But I saw this one and I actually thought it was pretty good. So if you notice, forsaking all, I trust him actually spells out faith. The first letter of each word. Got it? That's what an acronym is. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. So maybe you can use that as a little mnemonic device to remember that. It's a pretty helpful way of thinking about faith. Forsaking all, other things, I trust him. That's where our salvation lies. That's where our justification lies, in him. As long as we acknowledge that the him is Christ and not, like, you know, somebody else. We can get lost there too. So, according to Paul in Galatians, the inclusion of all nations is central to the gospel message of blessing. It's absolutely central. If we're saying that one country is blessed and another country is not, one nationality is blessed and another nationality is not, then we are getting the gospel wrong, plain and simple, according to Paul. Inclusions of all nations, tribes, tongues, and languages is central to the gospel message. Israel imperfectly carries the message for millennia, for thousands of years. And Israel and the church continue to imperfectly carry it through faith. Right? We still don't carry it perfectly, do we? We still don't live out faith perfectly, do we? Is anybody here doing it? I'll start following you around if you got it mastered, because I need some help still. We're imperfectly carrying it out, but we know that the expectation is not perfection. The expectation is faith. And when we continue to have faith, when we continue to trust that Jesus Christ is the one who brings us salvation and blessing, that's enough. And we need to remember that faith is not a new law. Because this is where we get hung up. Like, yeah, salvation is through faith, and that's wonderful. Now, do this, 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 and this, or you're out. Do this, 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 and this, or you're not part of us. You're not part of the community. In Christ, faith is the only prerequisite for belonging. It's not about circumcision, right? This was what we were dealing with the last couple weeks in Galatians. It's not about having a certain ethnic background, a certain religious background, even a certain family background. It's not about any of that stuff. Faith in Jesus Christ is enough to get anybody a seat at the table in the kingdom of God. From every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, all are free to follow Christ. And yes, we hold each other accountable, and that's important. But we got to remember what's like a matter of salvation and what is a matter of living out the gospel. And so we help each other live out the gospel. We need that. None of us can do it alone. But you know what it starts with? That free and open invitation and gift to each and every one of us. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all other things, all other allegiances, I trust him, Jesus Christ, the one who lifted the curse, the one who opened the table to all who believe. That's my king. That's your king. That's our king. Let's rejoice and let's live it out together. And let's pray. Gracious God, faith can be hard to wrap our heads and hands and hearts around. Many days we wish we just had a rule book. Something to tell us what to do and what not to do. And we do have so many good and helpful guidelines for our faith. But let us be reminded what holds us together. What brings salvation? What lifts the curse? One thing. Christ crucified and us believing it. Lord, we thank you for blessing all nations. The nation we live in certainly did not exist in its present form 2,000 years ago when Christ walked the earth. And the nations that most of our families came from before that also probably not part of the Jewish faith. And so we thank you for opening your gospel, your good news to all nations, to all peoples, to all tribes. We thank you for including us. Now may we continue to include all as we live out the faith and the kingdom together. In the strong name of the risen Lord Jesus,